Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast. These discussions come from his radio show on sosradio.net. It's a Christian radio station you can plug in with for music or conversation.
It's just what God has done in my heart, what God has done in me, who I was, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago to who I am now through this journey about how God has changed my heart.
Thanks for supporting the podcast.
The story Jesus told, they're meant to be lived into. And I'm Scott Harrell with SOS Radio. And we're talking with Tom Hughes today. He's one of the lead pastors at Christian Assembly Church in Los Angeles. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
So when we dig into the heart behind the stories that Jesus told, we really can be transformed.
Yes, there really are stories that are not just meant to be heard. They're meant to challenge us, cause us to wrestle with them. In fact, the word parable actually means something thrown alongside something else in the Greek. And in Hebrew, it means a riddle to be unlocked. So Jesus's intention in throwing these stories alongside our life is for us to wrestle with them in our own life and respond to them and live them out in contemporary ways.
We hear the word parables. We think the stories that Jesus told, but like you were just explaining, really the translation means a riddle to be unlocked. When you were studying through all the parables that Jesus taught, Tom, what was the riddle that really got you the most? The one that flew over your head for so many years until you really started studying the story and realizing, okay, this is profound.
Probably the one that I found to be most challenging in some ways is the parable of the dishonest manager. And in the story, there's a manager who's managing his owner's assets, and he finds out that he's not going to be manager much longer because there's accusations of mismanagement. And so he calls in all the debtors to the owner, and he changes their bills to be less. And in the story, Jesus commends the dishonest manager. And I always thought that was weird. Why would Jesus commend anybody for being dishonest? But the reality is, when you dig kind of close reading of it, he's not commended because he's dishonest. He's commended because he's taking current action in light of what he knows his future to be. He knows he's not going to have a job in a little bit. And so he's leveraging what he has now to create a better future for him in the future. And so that one was one where I always wondered, why did he commend the dishonest manager? And really, he was shrewd for thinking about the future and acting now in light of that coming future.
It's so interesting as we read through all the stories that Jesus taught. He often uses flawed people to make the points, and that gives us all hope, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, one of my other favorite parables is a story of two sons, not the prodigal. That's a different story of two sons. But this one, the owner of the vineyard, the father, tells two sons to go to the vineyard and work. And one of them says, yes, I'll go, but he never shows up. And the other one says, no way, I'm not going to go. But then later ends up showing up. I always tell the people that I serve here in Los Angeles that this is a dinner parable. It matters where you are at dinner time. Like later in your life, you can start over again. God is the God of second chances. And so he does use flawed people and flawed people that turn back to him even halfway through, three quarters of the way through their story to say, okay, I'm coming back to you and I want to do what you're asking of me.
We're talking with Tom Hughes today at SOS Radio, and he has a new book. It's called Down to Earth. It's about how Jesus' stories can actually change our everyday life. And a lot of times we think about things like riddles. You think about these stories that are complex, but Jesus just cuts through because everything that Jesus seems to talk about really goes back to the heart behind it, doesn't it, Tom?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. When you look at the parables, they're constantly challenging us on who we will be. Like, for example, maybe one of the best known parables is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, it starts out with a man asking, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And in the midst of that, what happens is Jesus actually turns through the story, the question around. And by the end of the parable, the question is left with the listener, what type of neighbor will I be? Will I be the type of neighbor that passes by on the other side of the road when I see somebody in need? Or will I be the type of neighbor when I see somebody in need, I stop and I help them and I do what I need to do, whatever's within my power to help bring healing in that situation. For example, that parable for us, just to show you, Scott, one way that's lived out is we were wrestling as a church here in Los Angeles, how do we love our neighbors well? And from that, we began to engage with our local public elementary school around the idea of mentoring at-risk kids. At risk behaviorally, at risk educationally, And we basically said, look, we want to begin to mentor at-risk kids one-on-one, 1 hour a week. And if you would be willing to let us come and do that. And lo and behold, they let us come and do that. We started that maybe about 12, 13 years ago. We started with 5 kids and 5 mentors. Then it grew to 10, then 20, 30, 50, 70, 85 at-risk kids are mentored one-on-one every week, 1 hour a week. And we've seen their behaviors get better and their educational test scores go up, so much so that the principal is not a follower of Jesus, but she said, if I ever believe in God, I'm going to believe in your God, because your God makes life better for the most at-risk kids in my school. And now LAUSD, which is the second largest school district in the country, is asking us to build one church school partnership for all 449 elementary schools in Los Angeles. And all of that just came out of a parable of what kind of neighbor are we going to be?
We're talking about the greatest stories ever told with author and pastor Tom Hughes today at SWS Radio. And during the times of Jesus' ministry, he had 33 years. I mean, you think about all the stories he told. We'd be telling these over a lifetime. You know, it's like our grandfathers would tell us these amazing stories. But Jesus was 30 to 33 years old when all this is going on, right? And so he's choosing to answer so many of the questions that people asked him with a parable instead of a direct answer. Tom, as you've studied what Jesus taught, what have you learned about his motives there?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we look at is that if you're going to know Jesus, roughly one third of his teachings comes to us in the form of parables. So you need to know his stories. And it's been said by someone else that the shortest path between person and the truth is a story. We were created and wired for a story. God knows that. Neuroscience actually backs that up as well, that we love stories and that we grow through stories. And so I think by Jesus telling these stories, he knows that these are going to become transcultural, that they'll transcend culture. They'll really can reach every tribe, tongue, and nation. For example, here in Los Angeles, there are so many different ethnicities and backgrounds, and yet everybody loves these stories as they wrestle through. Well, what does that mean, and how do I cope with that? For example, the story, the parable of the woman who's baking a large amount of dough and puts a little bit of yeast in it, and it leavens the whole of the dough. It makes bread for the whole dough. That gives hope whenever you feel like, well, I only have a little bit to offer. What good is that going to do in light of all that's going on in the world? And Jesus says, just take the little bit you have and use the little bit you have and trust me with the rest and see what I do and how it can change the whole. So we've seen that over and over again in the lives of our people. One other quick story. We had a guy who wanted to just share the good news of Jesus and local public high schools. And so he started with one local public high school and started taking pizzas in, helped start a faith club there that was led by some students that he was mentoring. And now he was working 3 part-time jobs, but now over the years, he just started with a few pizzas and a few kids. He's now on 17 public high school campuses in the LA area. This school year alone, we've seen 1,352 high school kids stand up and say they want to follow Jesus. And we've had another 2,500 ask us for new believers, New Testaments that we've given away. And all of that started with one guy saying, I'm going to go to one school with one pizza, kind of like a little bit of leaven that begins to grow and change the whole dough.
Now, Jesus used stories to unlock deep spiritual truth, and Tom Hughes wrote a book about how Jesus' stories can actually change your everyday life. And Tom, a lot of Christians really struggle with prayer life, you know, and there's actually parables that Jesus told to really illustrate how to navigate through that and how to build some prayer strategy.
Yeah, one of my favorite parables is the one that talks about prayer. Jesus was asked one day by his disciples after they saw him praying, would you teach us to pray? As part of that, he taught what's called the Lord's Prayer that many people would know. But then he went on and told a parable of a person who went and had a visitor come in the evening and needed some bread. So they went and knocked on a neighbor's door. And the neighbor said, basically, go away. You're bothering me. I don't want anything to do with this. The person kept knocking, till eventually the cranky neighbor, you know, got up and gave them the loaves of bread that they needed to host this visitor who had come in the evening. And so often people can think, oh, that's kind of how God is, that I'm bothering him with my prayers, but if I bang on the door long enough, that maybe eventually he'll just kind of want to help me to get me to stop, basically. But in actuality, that parable that Jesus told It's a parable of contrast, not similarity. So Jesus is saying, this is not what your heavenly Father is like. He's saying he's not like a cranky neighbor. So since he's not like a cranky neighbor, how much more should you keep coming to him? Well, then the natural question is, well, if he's not like a cranky neighbor, if we only have to kind of knock and then he loves us as our Father and he'll hear us, then why don't Jesus say, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking? I think the answer to that is because how often do our needs arise? They arise every day, right? We don't just have one need, one day, one time, but it's ongoing. I need daily bread. So every day I say, God, I need you to provide. How often do we need to forgive someone? It's not just one time in our life that we need to forgive someone. We'll probably get hurt many times. And he's saying, keep on coming and I'll keep on giving you what you need because I value, because I love you. I think about my own relationship with my three children. I don't only want to meet their needs. I want to have a relationship with them. I want them to know how much I care about what's going on in their life and that I want to be part of it. So when it comes to prayer, that parable really has helped me to know that he's a good father. He's not a cranky neighbor. And he wants us to keep coming because he knows in this life we're going to keep facing needs. And he's not bothered by our prayers, but instead, like a good father, he loves to hear from us and meet our needs as we bring them to him.
Well, thanks for unlocking these stories with us today. We're talking to Tom Hughes. As a new book, it's called Down to Earth, How Jesus' Stories Can Actually Change Your Everyday Life. Thanks for calling in today, Tom.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Scott.
Thanks for streaming our podcast. Our SOS radio team is always experimenting with new things. By financially supporting the music and conversation in our podcast, you're helping it grow.
I use the SOS radio app when I'm working. I love the fact that there are no ads, there's no pop-ups, and I can listen to Scott Harrell's podcast. I made a $20 gift to help keep the music commercial-free.
You can make a donation to help grow the podcast at sosradio.net or inside the SOS radio app.